6:01, time to go to RC Country Hobbies on Folsom Boulevard. Not just toys for big boys and girls. It's for everyone in the entire family. Yes, you. Cousin Wilfred, Auntie Jane. Boom. Good morning, Nate.
Hey, what's happening?
Good morning, Katie.
Good morning.
Okay.
All right, that's doable.
Katie is currently in Memphis, and before the show, just to peel the curtain back, you know, she goes hotel to hotel with these with this traveling, you know, sort of kind of NBA ball club, and she gets these hotels, and usually they have pretty good, you know, 5-star hotel rich people connections. This morning, not so much. So we've been connecting and reconnecting, and well, it sounds like so far so good, but we're kind of on DEFCON 3.
A little bit more of a delay.
Well, let's test out the delay here real quick. How are you doing, Katie?
I'm doing all right. I'm a little sleepy.
Okay. I mean, it's not a huge delay.
Not too bad.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like embedded reporter in Iraq delay. Those were horrible.
Speaking with astronauts at the space station.
Yeah, that's not it either. All right, so we have Katie, and we have a long and good and fun show for you. Uriah Faber ahead of his final fight this Saturday. Final fight ever, perhaps. He's going to join us at 7:35. Scott Kaplan at 8:05. Ken Rudolph, of course, there. Matt Barrows will lead it all off at 7 a.m. to kind of break down these rumors with the Niners and Trent Baalke and Chip Kelly and Jed York. We haven't visited with Matt in a while, and him being our Niner insider, you know.
You know, I saw this morning, too, Pro Football Talk, our good friend Mike Florio posted to his Twitter account that Carlos Hyde basically said something to when asked about Chip Kelly's job, if they were playing for Chip Kelly's job this weekend. He said the only job he worries about is his.
Yeah, atta bay.
You know, things are good.
That's the same thing I say. If I read a report somewhere in one of the trades that program director Kevin Sheritz was in trouble and I got asked that question, say the same thing. The only job I'm worried about is mine. Can't worry about Katie. Can't worry about Nate. Can't worry about, well, I would worry about Matt George, actually. I would do the show for Matt George.
Man, and there's been, the Niners are just so funny the way that their ex-players and stuff like that kind of bleed out into the media. And you've got Trent Dilfer saying things like, oh, well, you know, the GM has been, because we know whose pocket Trent Dilfer's in. Like, well, the GM has provided the stuff. The chefs just haven't been able to cook a meal with it. Like, well, true, Trent? Because I don't feel like the 49ers drafts over the last few years have really panned out.
No. In fact, the 49ers draft.
It's like trying to make a stew out of, like, you know, dirt and pine cones.
I mean, at this point, seriously, like, what kind of delusional human being is sticking up for Trent Baalke?
Mrs. Baalke?
Yeah.
Frieda Baalke, whomever it is.
Or Trent Dilfer, Frieda. I guess.
I guess Trent stick together.
Trent Dilfer.
Here's the thing. The Niners drafts make the Kings draft look amazing. Like, fresh and omnipotent and amazing. So they're both not good.
So we can talk with Matt about that. It'll be exciting.
Yeah, we can and we will. We also have things to give away. It's a very, very big packed show for Thursday. Don't forget, we'll be out at Golden One Center tomorrow live collecting unwrapped toys along with Sleep Train. Jiffy Lube will be out there with gift certificates, free oil changes, and all helping foster kids have a little bit of a better Christmas. So please do stop by. Thank you. And drop things off.
Please do.
You said do.
I did say do. You're right. It wasn't.
Please do stop by.
Matt George.
Just don't bring do.
Don't bring, no. Bring good unwrapped toys. Spotlight on Matt George last night. He was at the Rogue One premiere at Arden Fair Mall.
You know, I heard that movie is about war.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit, unlike the other movies, which are about romance. Yeah, he was there. Matt, how was the group? How was the movie?
Almost as good as Moana.
Almost. Oh, really?
it was great. I enjoyed it a lot. It was a good, they didn't pack out the theater, which was nice, and everybody was pretty cool. It was a good time.
That was a great thing. It was guaranteed admittance. It wasn't one of those triple oversold deals that they usually have. So I'd heard some things about it being a smaller crowd. Not small, but, you know, not crazy packed.
That was intimate crowd.
They were pretty strict, too, because they had security right outside. Yeah. Like, you couldn't enter the theater with your phone. They actually had to take your phone and put it in these little plastic crime scene bags.
Well, I'd be turning right around.
So, wait, this is Star Wars, right?
No, it's Star Trek.
Okay, is it or is it not?
It's Star Wars.
It's Star Wars.
It's Star Wars. So you didn't have like all those like angry like Star Trek people there that were trying to like talk crap during
No,
your movie,
you didn't have
kinda,
that,
like,
but you
Lakers
didn't.
Kings
no,
game, right?
But, no, but from what I heard, you did have people like they had somebody dressed up as Picard. And then they had like who's another Star Wars character? I think they had Data. They had a couple Klingons show up. So, you know, they were staying in the Star Wars form. But, yeah, none of those Star Trek characters.
Yeah, there wasn't anyone trying to show up and give you guys problems, right, Matt?
Hey, Katie, do you have your hair tied up in a ponytail right now, perhaps?
No.
I mean, I just think you might want to check in there and see if anything got caught flying over your head.
Boom! I'm being silly.
Dude,
I named all Star Trek characters.
I have no idea. Sorry, I don't watch any of that stuff.
Well, that's...
And I'm okay with you doing that and quote-unquote embarrassing me because I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, you should be.
I don't give a flying, you know, about either of those shows.
Wow. Basically,
edgy from Memphis.
You know what she said just there? You know what I heard her say? I don't care about America.
That's what she said. The anti-patriot.
So I was not there last night, and it wasn't just to watch the Rockets versus the Washington Generals last night in Texas.
Jeez.
But there was now I will say this tragedy has befallen this program over the last 2 weeks. There was a real one a couple weeks ago when noted dog lover and good person Katie Christensen lost her beloved Beagle, and she has gotten through that, and she has adopted a new doggy, and she is well on her way to the next chapter in her doggy-owning life. Now, I will have to lean on Katie for support here and advice because we had a tragedy in our family last night.
Oh, no.
Well, let's just say I pick my kids up from school every day, and we walk back to the house. You know, got back inside, and the kids go upstairs to do their homework.
I shouldn't be laughing.
A very excited young girl, 9 years old, Avery, came downstairs and she was crying. And I wanted to know why she was crying because she cries all the time because she's a young girl and that's what they do. No, it was not her fish. I'm sad to report at 6:09 a.m. on a Thursday, Mingo the guinea pig passed away yesterday in what we would assume would be a peaceful passing. I don't want to get too deep
into
it.
How long did you have it? Like 2 months?
Let's just say we had it 17 days past the PetSmart warranty. I want to say...
Hold on. Does the warranty count even if it's dead?
Yeah. Well, absolutely. That's what the warranty is for, sick or dead. believe me, we still have the receipt. So I want to say this, and you guys are laughing, and I don't. Matt, you're laughing, and you're the fine young church going lad. I expect better out of you.
You're sure you didn't have anything to do with this?
I'm. We'll get to that. I would like to say that Mingo was a good guinea pig.
Mingo
was a good guinea pig. He made little guinea pig sounds that were very cute, like wee wee wee. Yes, exactly.
Whatever.
Unlike his cage partner Giblet.
Oh my God, is Giblet a murderer?
Well, we'll get to that.
Okay.
He did not bite or poop and pee everywhere. Mingo just, you know, as my daughter and I would say, he minged around. That's what he did. He was a Mingo. She called him a Mingo Chingo, and he would hang out on your shoulder, on your lap, and just ming around. And I don't know what happened yesterday, but his little Mingo heart or lungs or brain gave out at some point, and she found him on his little guinea pig side, not breathing, and she came down and said, Daddy, it's official. Mingo doesn't have a heartbeat. And
oh, my God. Is that what she said?
That's exactly a quote.
Oh, my God.
Exactly what she said. And so, and I feel bad in retrospect, but here's let me let you guys in since it's just us. So I don't like dead things at all. It's like my biggest fear. I don't like dead things, but I also have my little girl who's, you know, she's very upset. So when she said that, my response to her was, sweetheart, he's sleeping. And when guinea pigs sleep, you can't feel their hearts. Go do your homework until mommy gets home. And because I wanted Melissa.
You didn't want to touch it.
No. I didn't want to look at it. So I waited. Melissa gets home at 5:30. So I texted her and said, hey, I got a thing for you to do when you get home.
Oh, my gosh.
And so Mel went upstairs and pronounced Mingo dead at 5:37 p.m. Pacific time. And
after he'd been sleeping,
he was sleeping
for a while.
Oh, and
Dr. Mom,
right? So Mingo is currently resting in our shed in a Converse box with some. He's got in there some of his guinea pig grass or whatever it is that we put in, and
so sweet.
And Avery drew Mingo a picture and put it in there for him to lie on. God. And we will be having a burial apparently this weekend. Although we're not going to bury him in the box. I already said that because that's way too big of a hole to plant. We just got new grass last year. So I was trying to be sensitive about this. And then reality set in. And, you know, as much as I may or may not react to Mingo's passing, my daughter reacted, and she was in tears, and it was sad. So last night she got her pick of any footlong sandwich at Subway.
Hey, way to go healthy.
Right? Well, she went with the seafood surprise or whatever it is. Oh. She went with Melissa to her monthly waxing, which is always a fun thing for a little girl to do because it was by a Cold Stone. So she got Cold Stone ice cream.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah, nothing says recover from your guinea pig like going with your mom to her waxing. And then yes,
aren't
Matt.
You supposed to do the waxing, Dave?
Thank you. Hey now. All right.
Nate.
How is Star Wars not the perfect remedy to that bad day?
I had to be with family. It was not an easy night. I wanted to go, but...
In times of crisis like that,
you stick together.
There's no need for politics.
It's when you find out when you really are family. So I want to also say publicly, despite what you might read in the press, this had nothing to do with my wife deciding to give Mingo a bath the night before. And if any of you say that to her, let me just assure you, if you ask her that question, it's the wrong question to ask her. Let me just tell you from experience. So,
what'd you give a CPR and bubbles came out?
I was just
say maybe don't wash a guinea pig, you know. And if you are, put it on the gentle cycle.
Maybe,
and maybe, you know what? Even though it smells downy ball, not a good idea either.
You guys just got a new washer and dryer. Didn't it say on there, do not wash your guinea pig?
You know what? It didn't, and we're contemplating legal action. We'll take a break on a very special edition of The Drive. We'll move on from this the best we can. We have Morning Brew next.
We'll see if we can.
As we take a break. You know what? Hug your loved ones, everybody. Hug them and let them know you're there. It's The Drive. Sports 1140 KHDK.
We're doing four
just down territory. Just want to let everybody know that right there is a sneak preview of four down territory. That'll be coming up at 7:17. So there you go. You listen early. You get yourself a jump start on the rest of the show.
We are killing it today.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
Let's do this.
And here I was wondering why Nate was giving me a silly look the whole time. Now I get it. Hey, that was Gary Gerald, who somehow made it through last night's game. Yeah, I almost wanted to say today that there would be no show due to planned rest for the three of us. Kind of hard when we start vacations here in the next couple weeks. The Rockets and the Kings played last night, you could call it that, in what was some semblance of an NBA game. The Kings were completely run off the floor. The Rockets scored at least 30 in every quarter, but the second they scored 28 there. 132-98. The only positives really from this game, we got to see the rookies for a couple of minutes, and they didn't lose by 40, which they were at one point, Katie. This was just a drubbing in every sense of the word.
And kind of expected. I mean, you're missing three starters, so yeah, Houston is a very good team. 8-game win streak for them, hottest team in the NBA right now. And man, there's so much to get into with this game, and unfortunately it's not good stuff.
Nate?
The Rockets shot 58% from the field. Back to you.
Yeah, there's a lot more to get to with this, as we have a lot of questions for Dave Yeager and for the team in general, but bottom line, all you need to know about, they lost, and they lost horribly.
That is Dave Yeager talking about returning to Memphis, where I am currently sitting in my hotel room. And yeah, he spent 9 seasons here, 6 as an assistant, 3 as a head coach. And we're back in Memphis. But DeMarcus Cousins missed last night's game in Houston for planned rest. And that's just ironic, guys, because we were just talking about Cleveland doing that yesterday.
Yeah, and you know, spent kind of all day, I guess, defending that decision by Cleveland, just in the sense that what can the league really do about it? You know, rest the guys, whatever. But I got to kind of turn around on this one because, you know, to me, you got to earn your planned rest. And that means like maybe winning a playoff series or being within, I don't know, playoff, like being in playoff contention would be good. You got to earn your nights off.
I asked, and we'll get into this a lot during the show and especially the next segment. I asked everybody that I know that knows things and was assured by everyone. This was not some secret disciplinary move. There's nothing there's nothing underhanded about this. This was actually planned rest. That was 100% Coach Yeager's decision. And listen,
I have a theory behind it too that we'll share later.
I'm a huge fan of Dave Yeager, and it's going to take a lot to change that. I'm not a huge fan of resting a guy that's 101st in the league in games played and 24th and 25th in minutes and minutes per game, especially like you said, Nate, he's never played 82 games in a season. Yeah, he takes on a lot of issues.
The Olympics this summer.
Sure he did. You know what? So did a lot of other people. You're not a playoff team.
Not a lot.
What, are you going to rest for the Olympic run? And on top of that, I don't like the way Dave Yeager waited, you know, I don't know, till the end of the game to play the rookies, or at least the fourth quarter. We'll get into that. The first time I've really looked at Dave Yeager and raised my eyebrows, and I'm sure we'll yell about that in the next segment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's Dr. Glenn Rivers weighing in on the CBA agreement struck by the NBA and the Players Association. It's a tentative agreement, but it looks to be a 7-year deal, and it's probably going to be locked in. So the NBA has been growing revenue-wise, ratings-wise, all of that stuff, and it's a good thing that they didn't decide to pee all over themselves and have a labor stoppage.
100%. And there's a lot of things here. The league's average salary expected to jump from $5 to $9 million annually. 45% jumps right around there for rookie-scale deals, minimum salary contracts, and some free agent exceptions. Also, designated players that hit certain goals, like making the All-NBA team, et cetera, will be able to get lucrative long-term extensions 6 years across. Also, up to 35% in the first year of the salary cap, regardless as to whether or not you're over the cap. And the two examples being pointed to by multiple publications are Paul George and DeMarcus Cousins. So a lot of things to get to, Katie, in this new deal. Bottom line is, it doesn't look like we're going to have a labor stoppage anytime soon.
Yeah, and they'd be stupid to do so because of where the league's going after the TV deal and the money that they're making. But can we talk about the most important part about this whole thing?
What?
Did Doc Rivers not just sound like the Cookie Monster?
Well, no. Doc Rivers sounds like he's like Dikembe Mutombo's cousin.
It's like the Cookie Monster, isn't it? I mean, I never really watched Sesame Street, but isn't that what the Cookie Monster sound like?
Yeah, which Dikembe Mutombo is often compared to the Cookie Monster. Mm. And Doc Rivers is like Diet Dikembe when it comes to the gravity
Diet
voice.
Diet Dikembe.
But yeah, if you get the both of them to do a podcast, I would absolutely freaking listen. A lot of things here. Let's see, $75,000 when a player is on assignment in the D-League. Two-way contracts, though, allowing that salary to be based on NBA minimums and not the D-League when they're playing in the NBA, which is great as well. It's good in many cases. Baseball also has a deal as well. So labor stoppages, I guess, the NFL is the only one that's up for grabs there.
That's not till 2020, right?
Yeah, exactly. These other guys have everything taken care of. So good for them, good for the NBA, and I'm sure a lot of fallout from this. Here's what we do know. More and more, I think it's becoming clear that the Sacramento Kings control DeMarcus Cousins' destiny. In other words, it is now going to be even more expensive for him to leave this team voluntarily when his contract's up. I think fans should start worrying less about whether or not DeMarcus re-signs in Sacramento and more about whether or not the Sacramento Kings retain DeMarcus Cousins in Sacramento. We'll talk about that and more next, including Katie's theory on stuff that happened during the Rockets game yesterday. We'll talk about that next on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHTK. Kings lose last night. I mean, saying they lose is kind of an understatement. Kings get embarrassed and run off the floor and barely look like an NBA team to Houston last night. That's more accurate. Mm-hmm. 32-98. They fall to 9-16, 4-10 away. The Rockets continue to do very, very well. They're 1 3-pointer yesterday away from tying their own record that they shared, who the hell was it with the Orlando Magic, who made that, set that record against the Sacramento Kings in 2009, as a matter of fact, for 3-pointers in a game at 23. Dave, Katie, and Nate. So let's start with this. They planned rest after all the conversation we had yesterday about resting LeBron James and company. DeMarcus Cousins has planned rest yesterday. I don't know what the hell that is. You got a win going out on the road. You're probably going to lose against Houston. And maybe I could buy if they came out and said, guys, we were going to lose anyways. So if we're going to rest him, let's rest him on the one we're going to lose to. We don't piss off the home fans. And maybe we've got a shot over the next two. I'm just being smart. Question is, why, you know, Kay, why do you need to rest him at all? That's my question.
Well, I guess the theory behind it is that DeMarcus is playing a lot of minutes and carrying a ton of the kind of workload for the team. He is putting up big numbers, and I'm just trying to rationalize. Okay, I'm not saying this is what I think. I'm just trying to think of what the excuse could be. Okay, and on top of that, when you look at DeMarcus, the type of game that he has, he's not necessarily a finesse player. A little bit of physicality there. Maybe he gets worn down a little bit more than others. I will say this. I see these guys after the game, and we know that DeMarcus has had problems with his feet for a really long time, and he had some different stuff that he did in terms of rehab in the off season. Said he came in feeling a lot better. He actually did that before the Olympic games, but. You know, I see him after games and like he's hobbling around. Like, I know this is part of the NBA. It's like everyone's got these nagging things that you deal with. So Dave Yeager made this decision apparently about a week ago to start doing some planned rest days for DeMarcus, Matt Barnes included, just because of his advanced years of 36. He and I are elderly, apparently. But when I heard that this was the game that he planned on resting, conveniently, like right before they head back to Memphis for the first time, I thought, well, you know, he wants him to have 3 days rest and hopefully help him get a win in Memphis when he returns for the first time.
There's weird messages with, are they trying to make the playoffs or not? Can anyone tell me that? And whether or not we want them to make the playoffs, what are they trying to do here? Because if they are, you don't get to rest your best player. You don't ever get to do that because you're not even in a playoff spot right now.
There's that. And then beyond that, because we could spend, and we should spend a lot of time on it. Here's my other problem. You're down 64-43 at the half. And by the end of the third quarter,
you know, it's not getting any better.
No, you're down 102-67. Now, to coach's credit, Malachi Richardson got inserted at the start of the fourth quarter, and good for that. Here's what I don't get. Why were both Scal and Malachi and Willie Cauley-Stein not – why aren't you playing the whole second half? If you're going to lose and you know you're going to lose, let's allow for that, well, then let the rookies get some run. Mm-hmm. Let them get a good amount of run.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Reno.
Yeah, hi. How are you doing?
I understand what you're saying. There's talking to coach before the game, he said, listen, he goes, deciding to rest players is probably the most difficult decision I make, because he said, I don't ever want to send a message that a game is not as important as another game. And so, you know, he made the decision to do this. So maybe I'm just trying to come up with answers to your question. Maybe he waited.
If you just say like, hey man, I know that this is wrong and stupid, but I'm going to do it anyway. Like, does that, I mean, do you get points?
No,
for that?
But let me finish the point I was trying to make about the rookies. Maybe the reason he waited until the fourth quarter is because there's always a chance. You want to try to come back, you know, I don't know, Dave.
That's all topped off by the fact that maybe after the game, you asked him if he noticed any difference. You know, they've been playing in the D League to now. Malachi looked good for a stretch and had a 3-pointer and some defense. And I'm paraphrasing, but you say, you know, have you noticed a difference between how they looked in you know, earlier in the year and in the D League as to now? And Yeager's response, again, paraphrasing, was something to the effect of, you know, gosh, by that point we were losing so bad, I didn't really pay attention. And I was I was not happy with how he answered that question, but I will say this. One thing that our Memphis friends, whether it was Eric Hasseltine, who is their play-by-play guy and former KHDK employee who knew Jaeger very well, played tennis with him. That was his tennis buddy. Like, he knows him. And a lot of the other fans out there, they all said similar things. Number one, Dave Jaeger doesn't play rookies. Okay, well, that's silly because on Memphis they were, you know, good. Mm-hmm. So I understand that. But number two, that Dave Jaeger sometimes, especially when things aren't going well, he'll get a little snarky and say a few things just to kind of goof with people at all. So I don't buy that he wasn't paying attention as we're kind of taking that. It was just a yucky game and a yucky feeling overall, just when things seem to, I don't know, you're feeling a little bit better coming off the Laker win. You're one game in the loss column out of the eight seed. You know, who the hell knows, right?
Dump it.
Yeah, just absolutely. I mean, last night's game was an embarrassment to the NBA and to the team. It was an embarrassment from start to finish.
I can't disagree with that.
I'll just say this. You know, there are questions a lot of time. Like, I get people on Twitter, you got to ask this question, you got to ask that question. Like, fans want to know. And to a certain degree, some of the questions the media ask is because they know the fans want to know the answer. However, you don't really want to ask it because you know what you're going to get, right? That is a question that I knew I had to ask. Did you notice a difference with the rookies? I also know, you know, in terms of kind of just playing and being around the game for so long, it's really hard to tell in a blowout game when you throw in some rookies if there's really much of a difference. The stock answer that I was waiting for, they look a little bit more confident and a little bit more comfortable because they should at that point.
Scott Labissiere had 7 minutes. Willie Cauley-Stein, 23. Malachi Richardson, 12. Malachi Richardson, 7 points, 3 boards, 2 assists, and a steal, and 0 turnovers in 12 minutes of play. And it is an understatement to say that that was a small sample size. And please don't believe that I'm going overboard on this in any way, shape, or form. No, I'm just saying it was 12 minutes in a game against a second and sometimes third unit in an absolute blowout. I'm very, very aware of that. But I'll tell you this right now. I would much rather invest my second team minutes in Malachi Richardson at this point than I would Ben McLemore or Aaron Aflalo or anybody else.
Well, Ben was on the bench.
Huh?
Ben wasn't even playing, so he kind of got him.
I understand. I'm saying from here forward, it's one of those things where maybe they can't develop all the rookies this year. I know that's not realistic, but I'd like to see them give Malachi Richardson at least a fair shot. I mean, what are they going to do, lose a ball game?
Yeah.
You know, that seems like a better use of your time than trying to see if Anthony Tolliver or Aaron Aflalo can develop their jump shot. We kind of know who those guys are. And so far this year, Aaron Aflalo has been stealing money, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
That's there's no other way to look at
100%
that.
100% with you. I'd love for Ben McCarty to score 7 points in 12 minutes.
Jeez, seriously. Katie,
I know we're going to get into this game a little bit more as the day goes along. And so I actually have an answer to you as why we haven't seen that and why we maybe will see it going forward.
Of course you do. Oh, that's Katie. They're teasing like she does. We'll do that when we get back. We'll also get into the new NBA CBA. A lot of letters in that. Don't go away. It's The Drive. Matt Barrows at 7 o'clock, too. Sports 1140 KHDK. So we went to break, I think, with a Dr. Dre song. We're coming back with the Dr. Dre song because it hit me during the break. I had seen this yesterday. 24 years ago today, Dr. Dre dropped the album The Chronic. If you want to feel old, if you remember bumping that album when it came out, I couldn't sound more old there.
There you go.
Yeah, somebody born the day that album came out is a year away from getting lower car insurance. They're drinking. They could have a kid, could be married. They're 20 freaking 4 years
Jeez.
Old. Speaking of anniversaries and birthdays and all that as well. Yesterday, we might have all missed it. I did put it out on Twitter after the game, but happy birthday, everyone, really. Kings fans, it was the 2-year anniversary of Fire Michael Malone Day, as a matter of fact.
God.
2 years ago yesterday, Michael Malone, on the heels of DeMarcus Cousins having viral meningitis, was fired following, you may or may not remember, a home blowout loss to the Detroit Pistons. And not that things were perfect then, and not that Michael Malone was flawless, far from it, and not that Michael Malone has even gone on to do amazing things. He's made the playoffs a grand total of no times with the Denver Nuggets. It does seem that the years since Michael Malone was fired and the Kings were above 500 have not been good to this team. So, hey, happy Michael Malone firing day, everybody. 2 years ago yesterday. Alan, you're on the drive. Hello, Alan.
Hey, good morning. I hated to comment on this whole rest thing, but with the dynamic pricing, I think it's an issue. When I was a season ticket holder, you pay the same for each game, and you know what? You might go to a game and Chris Webber doesn't play or whoever plays. That's kind of part of going to a game. But when you've got a game that's being hyped up, like I'm sure in Memphis it was, you know, they're probably charging three times as much because you're going to see LeBron, and then LeBron doesn't show up. I would personally want a rebate from the organization, because if I paid $300 to see LeBron in a $100 seat and there's no LeBron, I think that's where I have an issue. I mean, I actually just bought some tickets to see the Kings the day after Christmas. The tickets I bought were $70 for that game. The same game for the Warriors game in January is $240.
And, Alan, I understand your point, and Katie, we got into this yesterday. After talking about it yesterday, talking about it last night, talking about it on social media, to me the only real possible solution is – you can't have dynamic pricing anymore. But that's never going to happen. Yeah. The NBA is never going to agree to it. And let's be really honest, fans, you have no say. You don't. Now, you can choose to not go to games, but you have no say. There is no say in it. You have no power. You will do what you're told, and that's really it. It's just the way it is. Katie, the NBA is not getting rid of dynamic pricing.
No, right now, they're not going to be able to get rid of rest either. I mean, the most that they can do, the quote unquote, you know, off for rest situation, it's just a result of organizations. Now, granted, Popovich was doing this because he does have, he had a lot of elder statesmen, and it was a long-term thing, an approach to how they could stay healthy and be as refreshed as possible during the playoffs. But the massive amount of teams that are going to rest, honestly, it's a result of the fact that the league scheduling wise has just done a really bad job of making sure that the players are taken care of in terms of the amount of work they're putting in. Four games in five nights is absolutely insane. The Kings have an upcoming road trip in January where it's 13 days long. They have eight games and three of them are back to back. Six of those eight games are back to back. So that's absolutely asinine and insane. And teams are going to continue to rest players because of the way that the schedule is until the NBA decides to change the schedule.
Speaking of the NBA changing the schedule, the new CBA is going to be ratified soon. There's an agreement last night between the NBA and the Players Association. And one of those issues that is now in the new CBA is reducing the number of back-to-backs and travel. So starting next year, the league is going to have a shortened preseason, and the regular season will actually start sometime around the middle of October. They're saying right around the 15th, 16th, or 17th, rather than the usual 28th, 29th, 30th is when the season's going to start. That's supposed to reduce a little bit of the travel fatigue. Also, there was already a designated rookie scale in place in the old CBA, where you could have rookies extended by 5 years instead of the normal four. Now you're going to be able to do that with your superstars like Paul George, like DeMarcus Cousins, who will both be eligible for this, where they can now get six-year deals rather than the max of five as before. What's interesting about that, and I read this yesterday, mentioned this at the top of the show, is that those players in the first year of that deal will be able to receive up to 35% of the total salary cap, even if that team is over the salary cap. So when you think about the fact that the salary cap is going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of $95 to $100 million, you're talking about the first year of that deal being in the $30 to $35 million range. What does that mean for Kings fans? That means now DeMarcus Cousins is not only going to be able to be paid more year to year, he's also going to get an extra year if the Kings should decide to max him out and extend him out. That's going to translate – to somewhere in the neighborhood of $60 million more he can get in Sacramento as opposed to everywhere else, which is why I think it increasingly looks unlikely, and it already did anyways, that he would opt out or he would become a free agent and move on. I think it's up to the Kings, Katie, as to whether or not, before we go to break, they keep him.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I what this particular part of the CBA is trying to avoid is what happened with Kevin Durant last year. They're really trying to incentivize players to stay with the franchise that they're with.
We'll take a break. When we get back, we switch gears. Matt Barrows will join us, and we'll talk about the 49ers and all the things going on with them or not going on with them, these rumors that come up. Matt Barrows is as plugged in as can be. Nate, great job that segment.
Thank you.
I thought that was awesome.
I was tuned in.
We'll take a break. It's The Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK.